Hello, fellow Earthlings. It's me, Bailey. Welcome to my podcast, The Conscious Buzz, where we chat about all things conscious living, holistic self-care, and the ways in which you can step into your highest evolvement in order to show up fully for yourself, other beings, and the Earth. Our planet is in an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation right now, and the world needs each and every one of us to own our truth, step into our power, and take action on behalf of our and the planet's highest good. I am here to remind you that collective healing happens on an individual level. Without further ado, let's dive in. Oh boy, I'm so excited for today's guest. Y'all better sit down, buckle up, grab a cup of tea, and get ready for some intense spiritual wisdom, because today's guest is my one and only mother. She is the wisest and most insightful and spiritually connected person I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. I promise I'm not biased. She's seriously amazing, you guys, and y'all will see after listening to this episode. So yeah, without further ado, my mother. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Bailey.
Okay, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. Can you introduce yourself just really briefly, and then we'll dive into the questions.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Terrell Benton, Bailey's mom, and I'm here to speak a little bit about what I feel is happening with coronavirus, where it's come from, why it's happening. And it's based on my understanding of astrology and also spirituality.
Okay. I know that you've always been really strongly connected and in communication with forces beyond what we can see. Can you talk a little bit more about how that started?
When I was very, very young, it started very, very young. I just had this innate understanding or ability to hear guidance. I'll use the word guidance because at that stage, of course, I had no idea what it was. And I never doubted it. And as I became older, it never left. And the other thing that I was able to see was the energy surrounding and within people. So my connection to outside forces, for want of another word, really I feel I was born with. It was nothing that I ever developed. It was just something that I've always been able to do. My father was a very strong influence in my life, and from a very early age, he would share powerful mantras on how to conduct oneself in life. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized how sophisticated they were. But at the time when he was sharing with them with us, well, I have two sisters at the time, but he would say things like, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, and that it didn't, you always had to tell the truth would set you free. And so alongside this innate guidance I was receiving and daddy's guidance as well, it set me up to never doubt myself. When I was very young, about 4 or 5, I remember my little friends used to ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And the message I had been given was that my life would change when I was 40. So my response to them was always that I just wanted to be 40. And that never left me until I was 40. It kept being reinforced all the way through my life that everything would change when I was 40. So this was the power of the guidance that I had. And in every situation, I always learned to listen and to observe and follow this inner guidance, whatever the situation was. Of course, I had no idea what spirituality was. And I certainly didn't. And I never, most important thing is, I never realized that nobody else did this. Well, not nobody, but most people didn't do the same thing. I had huge respect for adults to a certain degree, just in the fact that they were older than I was. And so I thought that everybody had the same ability. However, having said that, at an early age, having this ability to see past the masks of people's faces and having this connection to the energy that runs through all of us, we are energetic beings, I quickly realized that many human beings would say one thing, but it wasn't necessarily what they meant, that there were two sides of every story. And most of the time, they were not telling the truth. And so that was how it started. Mm. And yeah.
Okay, awesome. So I know that in respect to that, you have had a lot of guidance around what's happening with the world right now, right? Like you've been receiving a lot of insight. And I know that you are really connected to astrology and like you, would you call yourself an astrologer?
No, I wouldn't at all.
Just like intuitively in communication with the planets.
Yes.
And like can kind of understand what they're saying. Have you always been able to do that?
Yes, I would say I'm an intuit. I'm 100% intuitive. And I believe in the microcosm of the macrocosm. I believe that we are connected to the planets just as we are part of the Earth.
Mm.
And the planets, to me, are this extraordinary navigational map that is, they're constantly working.
Well, they're archetypal.
Yeah, exactly. They're archetypal forces. And if we would just open ourselves up to who we really were or are, who we really are, we would be able to connect on a much, much higher level. I do believe that we're energy. Everything is energy, everything, including us. And when we understand that we are part of the whole, and that is a large part of, I believe, why this is happening, is that we have separated ourselves from the whole.
Mm.
And so whatever we do to the earth, we're in effect doing to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a diseased environment that we're co-inhabiting, and you cannot heal in a sick environment.
Mm.
So we all have to bring our environment back to being whole. And that requires each and every one of us bringing ourselves mm-hmm. to wholeness. And only then can we heal the planet.
Collectively, right? You mm-hmm. have to heal the individual before
right.
you can heal the collective.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm a big, big fan of that. There are, so the planets are archetypal, so, and I'll ask you to talk about that a little bit more in a second. So, for example, each planet has something that it represents, some kind of energy that it holds and that it brings forth. And I've had a few people ask about or say that they get confused by that because, how do I explain this? How would, take Neptune, for example, like that's the planet of what's unseen, basically. And how do the planets, oh gosh, how can you like read the planets now for how the world is now and how different it was back in the day? Does that make sense?
Yeah, my understanding in depth of astrology would be inadequate to describe that properly.
Okay.
I would not be able to.
But my answer to it was that it's not that the planets are telling you exactly what's happening. They're telling you what's happening archetypally. Like they're telling you what's happening energetically, and how that manifests depends on the state of the world. So obviously, if the planets were in this formation 150 years ago, it could look different to what's happening now. Like, the planets aren't up there saying coronavirus.
No.
They're up there setting the stage for something like coronavirus to manifest.
Yes. But also, I think it's important to understand our connection to the planets, because energy, there's no barrier between the energy of the planets and us. We are part of the whole.
Right.
And so what we're feeding, it's a symbiotic relationship. And so, I think it's important to go back further and have a look at the chakras, because the chakras are key to understanding what is happening now. We are moving up, we're evolving up through the chakras. Okay, we're here to ascend. It's all about the soul. So we're here for our soul's ascension. And over the last 2,000 years, we've been residing and operating from the solar plexus. So we've worked our way up through the three male chakras, the lower chakras, the chakras that are incredibly important because they ground us to the planet.
They're the roots of the tree.
Right, exactly. And so now we're in the midst of this huge shift. This is a spiritual revolution that we are experiencing. We are being lifted up to a much, much higher vibration. And we're moving up into the fourth dimension and up into the fifth dimension. And most of humanity has to shift up into the fourth dimension, which is represented by the heart chakra.
Mm.
So what's happening now, we are, as I say, a significant part of the whole. That the best analogy, I believe, is to see the fabric of humanity as a fabric. It's like a tapestry, and each and every one of us is a thread within that tapestry. And the tapestry is going to grow. It's going to evolve. We're part of a much, 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 much larger whole than we can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And within us is the potential to be that perfect thread that will have an individual journey, but at the same time connect to the fabric of the whole. And in order to do that, as the vibration of the whole shifts, which I believe is what Gaia is doing now, the Earth, she's raising her vibration. And so we have to raise our vibration as well. And if we don't, we're like the broken threads. We can't come forwards. And so if you can open your minds to cosmic perception, because we are cosmic, and come out of this mire that we've got stuck in, which is what we're now witnessing, the dissolution of the ego constructs. What we're actually witnessing now is extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. So on the level of the chakras, We're moving up into that much higher vibration, the heart vibration, which is the bridge between the male and the female chakras. And the bridge represents just that. Once you reach the heart chakra, you have to be totally authentic and true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this happening last year, the first insight I had, it was very powerful and it would not leave me, and I had to share it. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to share these promptings that I receive, because sometimes they're uncomfortable. And this one was, do not wait for the disaster to be who you are. And it kept coming back. So I did share it. I shared it with the people that I teach.
Mm-hmm. And the family.
And the family. Do not wait for the disaster to be who you are. We have to stop trying to be something that we're not.
Mm.
We have to turn within and realize that everything that we've been given is for us to reach our highest potential. And this was another message that I received when I was very, very young, probably again the same age, 4 or 5. I used to tell all my perplexed little friends that they were not listening. They had to listen, that everything was within. All they had to do was turn within and listen. But very few people listen. So then the second, going back to this coronavirus, the next feeling I had, and this was a very, very strong feeling, I just knew that something was coming. And again, you can't, it's very difficult to verbalize. And I had a couple of prophetic dreams. And that, again, they're not precise. They give
an idea
of what's coming. But I was told that it would affect every single human being on the planet. Now, my relationship with spirit is lifelong. And as I said earlier, I have never doubted it. And so the dialogue we have is constant and silent, of course. So it's very difficult to explain the depth of the insights I receive.
So would you say, though, that astrology is kind of a map that helps you navigate the communication that you have with the cosmic world?
Definitely.
Okay, because I know that since the end of last year, you've been warning all of us that something was coming, and you kept saying, like, based on the planets, like, you kept saying, you know, this is a planetary alignment that we haven't seen since X, Y, and Z, like World War II, all this stuff. So we kind of knew, we've all been sort of ready for this impending disaster for a few months. So can you talk a little bit about, like, you don't have to go super, super in depth, but just like a few specific things about the planetary alignment that told you these things. So like what a few of the planets mean, what a few of the signs mean, and how their interactions.
Okay, the way I like to look at the planets, I like to humanize them to a certain degree. I give them personalities. So we have Saturn, who the many different names for Saturn, but Saturn, Lord of Karma, Father Time, the Taskmaster. He rules Capricorn. And Saturn, I don't know if some people are familiar with Saturn Returns, but basically Saturn is like, to me, is like the grandfather, and he'll watch the children getting completely awry in their behavior, and then he just puts the hand of the law down. And there's a stellium. So it was Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, and Mars. Mars is the god of war.
It's the ruler of Aries.
And they're all the ruler of Aries. And they've all gone to visit Capricorn, all right? And Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. So Saturn in Capricorn, because he rules Capricorn, is very, very strong. He's at his height. Okay. And so all visiting in Capricorn's house are these major players. So there's Saturn, there's Mars, who's the god of war. There's Jupiter, expansion. Jupiter represents expansion. I'm keeping it really simple to not make it complicated.
And
Pluto is the destroyer.
Can I just add that Jupiter expands anything. Mm. Like, it doesn't matter if it's positive,
negative.
It just expands.
Yeah, exactly.
So it can be awesome. Like, it can expand something really positive, or it can exacerbate something that you don't really want.
Exactly. Exactly. So all these major players are all staying together for a year, 1 year. Now,
Can you talk? They're in Capricorn, so can you talk about what Capricorn represents?
So Capricorn represents structure, institution, governments,
systems.
The system, any kind of system. So like the health system, the financial system, everything to do with structures within a physical complex. So basically, keeping it as simple as possible, these major players have come in to make a change, a huge change. So each one of them is required to necessitate the fall And then the rebuilding of whatever it is going to come down. So during this period, there was an eclipse at the end of the year, December, and it was the eclipse that really set everything into motion, because when we have four huge supermoon eclipses this year, which is unusual. Normally we have three. And so the whole year has been set up for creating this shift and dismantling and taking down the current systems, institutions that are in place because they're not sustainable. The most important thing here, I believe, is to look at what we've done to the Earth, to the planet.
Mm.
First of all, we live on a planet, which I think a lot of people just simply don't think about. We live on a planet in space. Now, we can't trash this planet and go and find another planet. That is not how it works. So what we've done to Earth, we have abused her and raped her to a horrific degree, not realizing that we are actually part of, we are Earth, okay? So we have created the scenario that we now witness.
We're reaping what we sow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We are reaping what we sow. Hence, Saturn. Saturn is the lord of karma. Everything you do will come back to you, good and bad, everything. And it's not necessarily just what you do, it's what you think. Every thought has power. So this is much, much bigger than most people realize. It's enormous. And so you have what we've done to the planet. And Saturn is there basically saying, okay, enough. And then you have Pluto, who's the destroyer, who will come in. And literally, there's a wonderful saying that if you don't let go of the things that no longer serve you, Pluto will come and take it out of your bloodied hands. All right. So there's Pluto,
charming,
who's going to destroy. And then we have Jupiter, who is expanding, and we have Mars, the god of war. Now, the fact that we've all been put into isolation is remarkable and really quite amazing. And what I've been told, the insights I've had about this, is yes, it's for our safety as far as coronavirus is concerned, but it's also, it's for our safety on a much deeper level. And while we're in isolation, what's actually happened is we've been taken back to our physical homes. But much more importantly, while we're in our physical homes, we should be turning within into our spiritual center. And this is a time for reflection and accountability and taking responsibility and understanding the part, the role that each one of us has played in bringing this about. Another very important aspect of being in isolation too is to understand that you have everything you need and to make the most of what you have. The greed and the selfishness on our planet had reached horrific limits, absolutely horrific limits. Now it's time for everybody to take stock and reevaluate life and to prepare themselves to move forwards. When we do move forwards, we're moving forwards into something completely new.
I hear a lot of people saying like, oh, I want things to just go back to normal, blah, blah, blah. But like, I, for one, don't want that, you know, like what is normal? You know, people keep saying this, but I don't think anyone's really thinking about what is normal. And it was the greed and it was just the constant need for acquiring things and just like the rat race. Why would anyone want to go back to that? So I think we need to be careful about what we say.
People like, say, I just want everything to go back to normal. And I say, really? You want to go back to that world that's spun out of control, where people are killing themselves all the time?
Yeah.
This is what you want? You really want that? I don't think so. And I think now I do believe that the more time people are spending with their families, with themselves, that's beginning to change. And also, you know, if you understand the power that we live within, the energetic power that we live within, the planets do not want Earth to destroy herself. All right? That our planet is part of a galaxy.
A cosmic whole.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are much greater forces than people realize. And so now the universe has kicked in. It's like, okay, come on, come on, come on. You've got to wake up. Wake up, everybody. Remember who you are. The whole point of this is to wake us up.
Mm.
People have forgotten who they are. Mm-hmm. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And we have forgotten who we are as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
And when we realize, every word is, every word you speak is so important. The word realize means bring to life. You literally bring something to life when you realize it. And that is what we have to do. We have to realize ourselves. We have to bring ourselves back to life. We've been walking around in a stupor, brainwashed, completely forgotten who we are and why we're here.
In no way whatsoever are we demeaning or discounting the suffering that people are going through and the work that frontliners are doing right now and the trauma that people are experiencing. And we've actually talked about this a lot about there's lots of buzz. I know, especially when this first came around, about how, like, why was everyone freaking out so much? Because people die every day, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I totally understand that. People do absolutely die every day. And it's not necessarily that people are dying. It's how people are dying, like, alone, scared, in pain, tied up to a bunch of wires in the hospital room with no communication to their families, like, completely alone, no one to guide them through that process. Like, that is what's so, so heartbreaking. And then the doctors and the nurses that are having to watch this happen, I can't imagine what that's like. Do you have anything?
No, I agree completely. I absolutely second that. And please understand that I'm looking at this from a huge cosmic perspective. And that's just who I am. That's what I do. I look at the larger picture. I take myself up into the ethers and I look down as a whole, as what we're experiencing as a whole.
Right.
And this, you know, a lot of people have said that this is like a war. It absolutely is like a war, completely. And it's an invisible force that's being put on the whole planet.
Which is almost more comforting, though. Like, it to me, at least, I would be way more nervous if we were in a world war, because it's humans fighting against humans versus us as a united front.
Exactly.
Like, this is such a beautiful opportunity for unity like we've never, ever, ever had before. And I know a lot of people are really aware of that and really on board with that idea and, like, moving forward in that space or from that space. This opportunity to just, like, realize our humanity over anything, like, discounting our socioeconomic status and, like, our political leanings and stuff. Like, we're human beings. And first and foremost, yeah. And we have a common foe, like, one global common foe for the first time. And I don't know, maybe ever. I mean, there have been other plagues and stuff.
But yes, but not globally.
But not in the way that this is happening now. And, like, we're so connected now, or able to be so connected now with technology and everything. So it's fascinating. So, yes, I personally think a war sounds way more terrifying.
It's a timeout. It's timeout.
Yeah, we're being put down.
Yeah. That's what it has been put in time up.
Yeah.
Enough. Think about everything. Go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Do get rid of whatever it is that no longer serves you. And I mean that on every level, not just materialistically.
Right.
But on every level.
Well, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So like getting rid of the old t-shirts that you don't wear anymore. Everything. Getting rid of the towels that you don't use anymore. Cleaning out your workspace, like everything.
I have a little story I'll share with you. I love to take my car to get it cleaned.
She really does.
I really do. And because when I clean my car, and because I know that I am energetically the car is an extension of who I am. Everything is an extension. Everything in your life is an extension of who you are. So when I take my car to get cleaned, I have the outside done, of course, and I take a rag with me and I wipe it all off. But the most important part to me of cleaning the car is cleaning all the little inside bits that nobody gets to see. Because when I clean those little inside bits, again, it symbolically is me going deep down where nobody can actually see and cleaning out those little thoughts, deeds, whatever
patterns,
it is. Yeah, ideas. That anything at all, because it builds, it builds, it builds. Mm-hmm. Every single day it builds, and every single day you have to go in and do the work. And mm-hmm. it's more important to me that the little unseen, invisible parts of the car are clean rather than the outside of the car.
Mm.
And so if you, and that person, that's what I personally apply to everything in my life, absolutely everything. It's not the bits that people see. It's the bits people don't see.
Mm.
That is what's important.
Mm-hmm. That, well, that's the bits that people don't see are the true accumulation of who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that's a beautiful analogy. And we live in a world that's just so obsessed with the outside.
Outside.
And like you look at someone and think, oh, they must have their life like totally together. Their hair is so neat, but they don't feel great on the inside. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You talked a little bit about the chakras earlier. I have a question. Actually, I've heard, I mean, I guess that you could argue that every single one is, collectively is out of balance in some way, but I've heard so much buzz about it being the throat chakra that's out of balance collectively. And then now I'm wondering if with all of this physical isolation, do you think that's going to take a big toll on the collective sacral chakra, which is the, you know, the relationship and the station of connection? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have thought about that a lot. And in fact, in the yoga classes prior, or just as this was happening, the root chakra is what we worked on the most.
Okay.
Because the root, yes, of course, the root chakra will be impacted, because it's when something like this happens collectively, it's like the rug has been taken out from underneath your feet, mm-hmm. because everything that you thought was safe
mm-hmm.
is not. However, I go back to this extraordinary aspect of the coronavirus is in that we've all been moved to our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're moved into your home, when you're in your familiar structure, materialistically, let's mm-hmm. start just with the physical, that with that you regain the grounding of your root chakra, because it's what you visibly see is connecting you to your community,
right?
So the root chakra is all about community, tribe,
right,
security. So with each one of us in our homes, we have that stability, and if you are in any way in tune, you should be grounding every day, grounding, whether you're grounding through your food, through what you're wearing, through the jewelry you choose to wear, whatever it is, in any way, shape mm-hmm. or form,
we can
you
talk
should
a little
be
bit
grounding.
More about
yeah.
how to do that, yeah.
But the throat chakra, moving up into the throat chakra is predominantly, it's speaking your truth.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so, yes, collectively, it has been completely out of balance because most people are not speaking their truth.
Oh.
Because they're trying to be something. They've built a persona that isn't actually them. Then, so speaking your truth is not about telling the truth. A small part of it is. Speaking your truth is literally
just being
yourself. Who you
yeah.
are, being yourself 100%, never thinking, well, I can't say that because they'll think this, or they won't think enough of me if I say,
you know, none of
that. Exactly. None of that. Speaking your truth is being who you are.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, for sure. But what about the sacral chakra? That's what I was asking about. Because that's the center intimate connection and stuff.
So the sacral chakra is
Do you think that's going to get thrown off, though, by what's happening? Because we're, we're separated in a way from people? Because some people are isolated completely alone, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but again, if you, a deeper understanding of the sacral chakra is about your creativity. So going back to your spiritual being, we're all co-creators. Each and every one of us was brought here to co-create. Mm. We all have the gift within us that we're meant to share.
Right, we're all creative beings.
Exactly. Yeah. So during this period of isolation, this quiet time, whatever it is that you didn't do because something else brought you more money or whatever, may be ignited.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense.
May be ignited. Absolutely. And when we come out from this, that may be the route that you will take.
Well, it's like a renaissance in a way.
It is.
Yeah.
But it is. Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
If you so choose to make it.
Exactly.
Like there's just so much pure potential right now.
Exactly. We're living in a sea of pure potential.
Which we are all the time.
We are all the time, but even more now.
Right. It's being amplified right
now. Absolutely.
Like we're being slapped in the face and shaken by the shoulders.
Up, shaken up. The universe saying, wake up.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about grounding. It's so, so important. And I think a lot of people think that you kind of have to forget, completely abandon and forget about the material world to transcend and be very spiritual, but it's the actual opposite. Like you have to have a solid foundation, a very solid root system. Think about a tree. If a tree was floating above the earth, it wouldn't really get much done.
It wouldn't get anything done,
to be more specific.
Done at all.
If you just hovered a seed above the ground, you have to plant and you have to bury those beautiful roots and really sink them into the ground. Mm-hmm. And that does not mean to just acquire and attach to material possessions, but it means to have a solid connection with the earth, a solid foundation. And that can look like a lot of different things for you. Some people really do love and appreciate beautiful things, and that might mean having a beautiful home. It comes down to your intention and whether or not you're letting yourself get attached to it. But on the subject of grounding, I know one of my favorite things to do is to just go outside and put my feet and put my hands on the earth and sit on the rocks, to physically be with the ground. And then when you meditate, pulling your hips really firmly down into the ground, just any way that you can facilitate and establish a firm connection with the ground, literally. Would you have any other tips? With eating and everything.
Well, with eating,
root vegetables.
In fact, my sister-in-law was saying yesterday that my niece is having this thing about potatoes at the moment. I said, well, she's grounding. And she said, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And I said, yes, that's what she's doing. She's grounding. She's eating lots and lots of potatoes.
Yes.
So it's fairly, it's easy to understand what grounds you and what doesn't. Any dark food, and of course, I'm known because I always have black pants on, and mm-hmm. I have to, because I have to keep my roots down all mm-hmm. the time, otherwise I'd be up in the ethers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Being barefoot.
Absolutely. Dark shoes, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
color-wise. But the earth, there's nothing better than the earth.
Than just being outside.
You can go outside and put your feet on a rock, stand on a rock, or stand in the grass, or stand in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It is extraordinary what it is.
Yeah, it's so true. I like to lay out on the rocks and tan like a lizard.
And raise your arms up to the sky. Then mm-hmm. you're being who you are, Vrikshasana, the
mm-hmm.
tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And yes, there's lots of different yoga asanas that you can do that are more grounding, or yoga grounding sequences. There's tons. And a fun part of that is to, like I said, find what feels grounding for you. Like when you get in touch with your intuitive body and with what your body and your spirit are asking for, like you'll know what's grounding to you and what's not.
I think from what I understand, a lot of people don't understand that connection. It's being totally in tune with who you are.
Yeah, and after a while, you know, you'll start to know, like, if you get off balance, you'll know, oh, I'm not grounded right now. I need to go sit in the dirt. It sounds very hippy-dippy, but, like, it's true. I get really upset, and I'll just go sit outside for a second on a rock. I'm like, oh, I feel so much better.
And just putting your hands on a tree. I mean, I know people laugh at tree huggers, but really,
it's just true.
It is, and you don't even have to hug the tree. If you just plant your hands firmly on the tree, it is extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So spending time in nature, there is nothing better that you could do at the moment. The love you give nature is the love you're giving yourself. And really, all this is all about that. This is all about love. It's moving into the heart chakra. Loving, if you don't love yourself, it's very difficult to love other people.
It's impossible to love other people.
You have to love yourself and accept yourself, every single bit of yourself. And then life changes.
Yeah, and letting yourself be weird and hug trees might be part of that. Like, that's okay.
It's part of it.
If you want to do that, do it. If you want to lie naked in the dirt, do it. Okay, so it is no secret that we're moving through a global awakening. And obviously we've talked about how it can be really unpleasant and uncomfortable, but ultimately we're moving to a better place. But in this time that it really is unpleasant and uncomfortable for people, besides what we've spoken about with like being outside and whatnot, do you have any advice for how people can kind of make this a smoother transition?
One of my mantras is always to deal with the is. And I think one of the other lessons that we're learning here is to be completely present in the present. And I know it's difficult for people, but if you can meditate on not taking your mind back into the past and not trying to visualize the future, because especially now, more than any other time in our lifetimes, we have no idea what the future is going to actually constructively be. So just to be happy where you are within your circumstances. And I totally understand that for a lot of people, I mean, you know, married couples that maybe weren't getting on so well, or family structures, I mean, there's abusive couples. I mean, there are so many different dynamics that could be playing out in people's homes now.
Yeah, it's awful.
I totally empathize and sympathize with all of that, but just trust, have faith that this is all we're going to get through this. One of the sayings I always say to myself when things are difficult, which I'm sure a lot of people do too, is
this too soon shall pass. There we go.
And it will. And have faith in who you are. You're amazing. We've all been brought here for a purpose. There's nothing random in the universe. Nothing. And so it's just reconnecting, or just connecting with who you are and trusting in who you are on a minute by minute basis at the moment.
Yes, I completely agree. Okay, well, thank you so much, Mom, for being a guest, guest. This was wonderful. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Oh, no, I think that's enough for now.
That's it. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes. It was so wonderful. Okay, never mind. Mom has one more thing she would like to share. And I don't want to mess everything up by recording a whole new exit. So we're just going to pop back in here and let her share that one last thing.
I just wanted to finish with one of my favorite quotes. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us.
So worth the choppy editing. Thank you so much, Mom.
You're welcome.
Okay, you guys, I hope y'all enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed recording it. Is she not so cool? I can't believe she's my mom. So awesome. I'm so grateful. If y'all know her, you already know how incredible she is. And if you don't, then now you have a little bit of an idea of why everyone loves her so much. So yeah, I hope you guys liked it. And I'm sure that I'll have her on again in a pretty short amount of time. And in the meantime, if you like this episode, please don't forget to leave a review and subscribe so you can get all the new episodes delivered right to you. And yes, I hope y'all have an amazing, amazing day. Thanks, you guys. Happy quarantine.